Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Let us hear the word of the Lord. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted. To be tempted by the devil. After spending 40 days and nights without food, Jesus was hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are God's son, order these stones to turn into bread." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down, for the scripture says, God will give orders to his angels about you. They will hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones." Jesus answered, "But the scripture also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their greatness. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you kneel down and worship me." Then Jesus answered, "Go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left Jesus, and the angels came and helped him. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Now this is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. Well, I love this passage. One of my favorites. You know, we live in a litigious society. Litigious. In other words, everything's in writing. And people hold us accountable. They're always wanting to sue each other. There are signs, there are rules, regulations, all down in writing. There are warranties, there are contracts. And if you go to court and somebody says, "We've got it in writing," well, then you got the power of the courts behind you. The judge will back you up. And boy, we just love to sue each other. And man, it's just that kind of world that we live in. Everywhere there's a sign, blocking up the scenery, blowing my mind. Do this, don't do that, read the sign. Everywhere. It is written. Gee. Well, for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was in the wilderness. No creature comforts. It was blistering hot during the day, freezing cold at night. Didn't eat. And he was human, just like you and I. Other people have done that, gone 40 days without food, even longer. They've done hunger strikes. But you become very faint, very weak. It's a very difficult thing to do. And so Jesus was out there fasting and praying, putting his focus on God, but his body was just having a hard time. And it says, scripture tells us that he was hungry. Now you can imagine how hungry you would be after 40 days and 40 nights, living under harsh conditions, right? Well, we know how hungry we get after 40 minutes, let alone 40 days and nights, my goodness. And if you mention the word diet, if you decide you're going on a diet, aren't you instantly hungry? I mean, you are. And I know that when I've been on diets, if you give me a saltine cracker with butter on it, I think it's like lobster. Man, it's wonderful. Now, Bonnie likes that, saltine crackers with butter. If I'm not on a diet, there's no way I'm going to enjoy that. I'm not even going to eat it. But when you're really, 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 really hungry, anything tastes good. So imagine Jesus being out there in the wilderness all alone, 40 days. I mean, he wasn't staying at some Palm Springs motel. He was living out in the wilderness on his own. Dangerous, dangerous in the wilderness. Suffering. Hungry. Hungry. And Satan comes to him when he's at his lowest. Just the way Satan does to all of us. When we're down and out, Satan knows when we're at our lowest. And he hits us at our lowest point. Weakest spot. And he goes to Jesus and says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Have anybody here baked bread? do? I mean, put your name and address down for me, will you? I grew up with my mom baking bread, and I used to sell it as a kid when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. I'd go up and down the street. I had regular customers, and it was 50 cents for a small loaf, $1 for a big loaf. I think it was 75 for the dinner rolls, and that helped pay the bills. Times were tough. But I grew up with that smell in the house of homemade bread. Man, that's good stuff. Close your eyes for just a second. Close your eyes and imagine being really, really, really hungry and walking into a bakery. Walking past a restaurant. You know, when they're blowing all that smoke out the roof and it smells like steak? Imagine the smells of a backyard barbecue. Oh, great stuff, I'm telling you. And so Satan goes to Jesus and says, turn these stones into bread. But you know what? Satan is like a roaming lion seeking whom he may devour. He is wily. He is crafty and cunning. The main issue wasn't Jesus' hunger. Satan was only using that as a distraction. The main issue was, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread. He was trying to get Jesus to question his relationship with God. Because if he can get Jesus to doubt his relationship with God, he can get Jesus to doubt anything. When Satan gets you and I to question whether or not we really are Christians, whether we really are children of God, whether or not we really have Jesus in our lives, then he's got us going to and fro. He's got us full of doubt, and we're wavering. And it says in James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. I'll tell you, Satan is always going to try to get us distracted and get us away from our relationship with God. And that's what he tried to do to Jesus. Come on, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Turn these stones into bread. Come on, you know you want the bread. You're hungry. Worry about the bread. Don't worry about the other thing I just asked you. Do the bread. And Jesus says, it is written. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Satan says, okay, he's not going to argue with him because he said it is written, and he knows that God backs up what is written. When you quote scripture, God is backing it up. It's a powerful thing to say it is written when it is the word of God. So, Satan tries a different tack, but he still says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the top of this temple. Because Scripture says that God will give his angels charge over you, and they won't let you hurt your foot against the stone. And if you throw yourself down from this temple, everybody will see that, and they'll see that God is protecting you, and they'll worship you, and you'll have what you want. Come on, impress everybody. Throw yourself down from this temple if you are the Son of God. Prove it to everybody. Yep, again, the distraction. Again, the devil appealing to Jesus' sense of wanting to reach the people, to touch them. And Jesus says, it is written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. So now the devil changes tactics. And he counters with, here. Takes him up on a mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he says, I'll give all this to you because I know that you want to save everybody. That's what the name Jesus means. Saves their people from their sin. You want to save everybody, and I can give you control over the whole world. You can enforce all the rules and regulations you want. And you can make people obey you, and you can teach them everything you want, and you can save this generation of people. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. Satan's back to the same thing again, trying to break that relationship between Jesus and the Father. Just like Satan comes to us and appeals to the things that we want most in life. Hits us when we're lowest, hits us when there are things that we want but we can't have. And he tempts us with those things. All we have to do is take our eyes off of God. If we'll turn our back on the things of God, if we'll turn our back on the church, we'll turn our back on the Bible, if we'll turn our backs on being Christians, on helping other people, if we will ignore those things and turn our back on God, Satan will give us whatever we want. I'm telling you, Satan will bless your socks off as long as you'll bow down and worship him. And if Jesus would have accepted, all he could have done was save that generation of people. He never would have saved the thousands of generations that came after that. And this time Jesus looks at Satan and says, get away from me. It is written, you will serve the Lord your God only. You know, the Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. We have to remember that it is written. And Satan will come and attack us in our weakest moment. And Satan will get us distracted so that we will question our relationship with God. Because once he gets us to do that, to question our relationship with God, then we'll question everything else too. He's no dummy. But you and I have the Bible. We have the Word of God, which is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6. It is the sword of the Spirit. So that no matter what you're going through, you can always say, it is written. And then quote the scriptures that come from the Bible. Don't make them up. You know. I think it goes like this. I'll look it up and find out how it goes. Because you know what? Satan knows what's written. So don't doubt your relationship with God. Know that you are a child of God, that Jesus Christ loves you. Say it is written to whatever problem you're going through. And stand on the Word of God. And then do it for somebody else you know that's going through a tough time. Go to them and say, I rebuke that cancer. And it is written, the chastisement of your peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes you are healed. Don't let the devil bully you. Tell him to go away. Tell him it is written. You have favor with God and man. God loves you, and so do I.